right, y'all. Welcome to the episode of Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, the only podcast that's actually happy that it's the holiday season because we get some time off. I am the host, the infamous Hood Rat with Heart of Gold himself, Cortez Washington, and I'm joined by a special guest. This person is a gaming journalist. You catch a wide breadth of their work on gaming industry biz, gamingindustry.biz.
Gamesindustry.biz.
See, damn it, I try to go it's off the okay. cuff. But regardless, this person is one of the hardest working people on that publication. Please show some love to Jeffrey Rousseau.
Hey, thank you for having me. I try with my job. I don't know if I'm necessarily the hardest working, but I definitely just try to be a better journalist every day. At least I hope so. Games journalism is what I do. That's what keeps the lights on.
But multifaceted, multi-talented, multi-versatile man of mystery. Jeffrey Rousseau.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, I always feel weird about getting accolades because I sometimes forget the other things that I do. But yeah, I also, aside from my journalism job, I'm also a writer. I do have a blog where I try to talk about things, not necessarily gaming, just like real life things, because, you know, people are multifaceted and we have just different things going on in hands. And I'm a chronic overthinker of things, and life is just like that. But anyway, you know, with my job as a gaming journalist, I like to try to bring my different expertise of what I've done over the years to work, you know, and just trying to make sense of the news to people. And, you know, as I was mentioning before we were recording, recording a game, reporting on the games industry can be weird at times, you know what I mean? By the news, and just weird, especially when you're black.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Woo.
So, I want to get a little bit of, like, I usually have a format that I do, but fuck that format, because I just want to have a nice conversation about, especially what we were talking about right before. I really want to get in depth of like what, like, far as like getting your on your pathway as journalism, but like just as a writer in general, what are some of the like influences and things that got you on that path beforehand, and what are some like some other focus areas of yours too that you've had on your process of not only like covering things for publications, but also just as like a personal writer, just trying to get the word out and trying
When I look back at my
your experiences, you know, and things of that nature.
When I look back at my experiences that got me to become a gaming journalist, part of that I do owe to the communities I found myself in and working with them. That's been a big part, and I'm probably gonna mention that a few times. It does help to be in community with people who do support you and say, hey, I see you doing your thing, you know, just keep at it. That definitely helps. But the path for me to get here was that, you know, like anyone else, when I was younger, I would, of course, read gaming magazines. I probably spent way too much time on certain parts of, like, gaming websites when I was younger. I think everybody can attest to that, probably. And, you know, you get familiar with the people who are talking about the games, the reviews, previews, all that. And, you know, obviously, what games media looked like back then doesn't necessarily look like what it does now. So obviously thinking about, okay, these are the people who are considered the experts who are doing this job. And then, you know, you notice there aren't a lot of black people. And, I use, the time when the conversations as when Resident Evil 5 came out or when that trailer dropped, I used that as an anchor point because I really thought about the fact of how the news was, well, gaming journalism was reporting that. And I thought, surely, you know, there can't be so few voices that calling this thing what it was, racism, but we're not afraid to say that because yeah. You can't, you know, let's be honest, like it's not, and I hate when like, please don't be afraid to use words as journalists and writers. Like it is what it is. I'm sorry. It's an African country. The protagonist, one of them anyway, is not black. You have black and brown people who are zombies. It's like, hello.
Yeah.
What is that?
And you got a white guy punching boulders. Like,
right. Anywho.
Ain't none of it adding up as like a good reason to like, you know,
right.
Racism.
and you know, So anywho, I use that time because I thought a lot about what was being said and what wasn't being said. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, am I going out of my mind? Like the coverage for this from some places is just like, oh, supposedly whatever. And I really thought about, it's like, why aren't you recognizing something for what it is? And I'm not saying that Capcom as a company is capital R racist. But the tropes there weren't necessarily like out of left field. That comes from somewhere. But anyway, I'm rambling. So no. I thought about that and that stayed with me.
Yeah.
And even the spaces I saw myself spending time with, and I wasted time and space when I was younger. It's like, I honestly don't know why I wasn't in more like diverse, spaces when I was younger in online spaces. But anyway, that time has passed. I've learned I'm a better person, yada, yada, yada. So I thought about that, and a journalist and the people who had the ability to speak that. There weren't a lot, but I also thought about how that also launched the opportunity for people to, like, even academia papers were written about what happened with Resident Evil 5. And I know I'm dwelling a lot on something bad, but it's going to get to something good, I promise you. So yeah. I thought a lot about black folks and, you know, what we can do within a gaming space. Obviously, that was something bad, but I kept thinking more about, like, okay, what's the ability to talk about games, all these fun things, whatever. And obviously, people empower themselves. And over time, I just found people who were creating content. And as more services and technology started to become available, then, you know, we have our content creators, YouTubers, now TikTok and all that, and people creating content for themselves that just good and feel good and who just happen to be black. Yeah. And as far as games journalism goes, that I still think that obviously that's what's paying my bills, but more to the point, it is something that's important because you're not going to catch every aspect of the news on one site. It's not possible. Because, like, our site, for example, we cover the business portion, but other sites cover, you know, like, consumer stuff. And that's important, too. Like, all of that helps because it helps you say, like, okay, there's this deal going on, this company bought this company, but also, this game has all these cool features, or there's this cool interview with the developer, you know, and... Yeah. I think all those things are super important. And if it wasn't for the fact that if it wasn't for the fact that I saw individuals who were just creating content, just doing all these cool things and just using the opportunity like Resident Evil 5, for example. So, well, here's why it's not good. I don't think I would be in a position that I am right now, to be truthful, to be able to just talk about the news. So yeah, that's why I'm here. And as far as like my influences go, a number of my mentors are just a number of them. I just realized most of them are black women who just created, you know, content regarding games. But they are also, I saw that, you know, they're individuals with different hobbies, but they're able to combine that with their coverage of games, whether it be they're on Twitch or they've created an organization to, you know, just highlight people of color or black folks, what have you, underrepresented groups. And they're also part of the reason why I'm here, because I thought, okay, so I see that they're combining these different interests and hobbies and skills. Why can't I? So obviously, you know, I just worked on my writing, and long story short, I can report the news, but also if necessary, or just whenever I feel like it, I also do pat myself on the back that I can talk about the intersection of media, you know, just as it pertains to people from underrepresented groups, specifically, you know, Black folks. I think I have a good handle on that. That is one of my fields of expertise. So it was funny about that is I think people forget that, or I just act aloof enough online so people don't think that's always on my brain, but it kind of is, because it's just something that I've done for myself. So when someone is explaining something to me that's like, hey, this is like representation 101, I just send them like, even though I've written articles and articles, I could probably fill a book with everything I've written so far about it. That's why I was also mentioning that. That's why it's, as a Black gaming journalist, I'm not gonna lie, there's just a few times when you're just doing your job, you're like, oh, this is, yeah, what a day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that was like a long-winded explanation as to why I'm here, but it's funny too, because the thing with gaming, yeah, it's this very fun thing, and of course I have fun playing, you know, number of games. I could tell you what my favorite games are right now, but there's a reason why you'll see me report things about, you know, unions or possible controversies or issues or whatever. Because, you know, the thing is, ultimately, even though this is a big old billion-dollar industry, it's still about people. Mm-hmm. And people, by nature, we sometimes we do good, sometimes we do bad. We try to do better. And that's why you'll get the occasional, oops, maybe this was racist story, or oops, sexism, maybe, oops, transphobia. Some cases, it's not oops, it's kind of like deliberate. You know, my job is a funny thing, because there'll be times where I'll just be sitting at my desk and I am very, wow, okay, I'm not sure how to process this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for that, because that is like it seems like you were trying to capture everything about it and about your journey and the your viewpoint all in one breath. I got a few jump off points for this. This is funny. Well, this is not funny. This is actually very exciting. One thing was like, it seems like when you were like in the early, when you were like Resident Evil 5, when you seen that and you thought something was wrong, that was like, but you didn't know if it was wrong or not, because of that, you had internalized like inferior or internalized thoughts of like, I'm blowing things out of proportion, you know, internalized gaslighting is the best way to describe it. Like you was gaslighting yourself. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Come on, Jeffrey, you know, da 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 da. I'm just whatever, da da da. And it's like, and then you think about it, you're like, oh shit, what the fuck? Like, this is weird, you know? And it's good that you, like, that was like your jumping off point, was like, all right, somebody got to say something. This is fucked up, you know? Man. And say it from the actual viewpoint of like, this is offensive. Like, this is offensive not only to like being a Black person, but to those folks that you're portraying. Like, because all you probably did was send a scout team there for a little bit, been there for a few times, get some location, you know, scout the location, did whatever. And then, like, you just came back. You didn't actually understand fully, you know, or do, like, the full wide breadth of research. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they didn't take it into context when it came to the imaging and the marketing and the portrayal of those folks, you know? And so that's an aspect of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what's interesting about that is because it happened however many years back, I don't know how many interviews I can find online regarding that. But again, to Capcom's, you know, in their defense, that from then till now, they have been better about their games being more, you know, inclusive and not problematic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as what I, you know, what that really means. No, Street Fighter VI is like a good recent example. But as far as like going on location and influence with that, you know, I do remember someone brought up recently when that conversation came up again. First of all, I will say before I get to my point, I don't think that game's getting remade, because if it does, I still don't think there is any, it'll be very hard to defend yourself publicly if that's remade again, because I know they're doing it with 4. Yes. I really doubt they're going to do it with 5.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely doubt that given what we've talked about. But anywho, I remember, like, I don't know if it was one of the producers or directors, but like when asked about the concerns brought up, I think they said something to the effect of, well, you know, we created what we created, and if people take offense, it is what it is. Now that wouldn't fly, you know.
Yeah, that's some, you know, bullshit. That's some bold shit. Hey, my bad if you offended, but shit, it's still going out. You feel me?
You know, yeah, because I thought about that when I read that response, because I think it was like on Wayback Machine or whatever, when someone found that, because the original article, you can't really find it.
Yeah.
But I thought...
Oh, I was gonna say shout out to the Wayback Machine, because like they say you can never, nothing can disappear on the internet. That's one of the ways that nothing disappears on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing about my job, don't get me wrong, it's fun to report all these cool things, but they're just times where like you mentioned, you know, I'm just thinking like, huh, you know, like this year, for example. I can name like 3 times, they weren't necessarily all revolved around my job, but while doing my job, I can mention like 3 things where I'm like, man, being black and liking games just so damn weird because of just stuff. Because what's one example I can think of? Oh, I know you saw that news about Activision Blizzard and that diversity tool thing and like giving stats to people. That was really funny, because on one hand, it's like absurd, but two, as like people from underrepresented communities, it's like you attach a numerical value to our inclusion in games, and that's how it's helping you. And in the way that article like presented it, it sounded, I wrote like an op-ed on this, like it sounded like, oh, we lean heavy upon this, where I think the cleanup on that was that, you know, we think about these characters in this tool like assist us. Now, what's funny about that is that I remember I was just randomly on Twitter, and a black person in tech, like I randomly saw their tweet about this, where they're like, they were somewhere doing something, and they're not necessarily in games, but they're a black person in tech, and then they said they were at some location, and that was presented. And then they said, it's like, so I see this thing presented in a projector or whatever. And then they said that their eyes immediately connected with the only other black person there, and they gave themselves a look. I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it's like, huh? Yo. That week was funny, because the jokes kept flying about that. You know, another one I can think of more recently was, I believe the one of the producers, if not the lead producer, I'm probably saying that wrong, about Final Fantasy 16 at IGN. Like, they did a really good interview, but then a question about like, hey, you know,
oh yeah,
people have been asking. And first of all, I would like to say, the people, if you've been on Twitter, the people who have been asking that question have been mostly been black people, by the way. Yeah. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
You know, let's be for real. that asked about, like, hey, you know, given all the trailers about these games, we have not seen, like, non-white characters, particularly black and brown ones. So what's going on with that? And, you know, the question was asked. Now, I'm not going to talk about, like, his response, except that that was a very long-winded response of saying, no, our game just simply does not have them. Right?
Yeah.
And what was funny about that is that it's weird because on one hand, it's like the thing about medium, you know, as a black person is just you kind of have to, I hate using the word, not necessarily train yourself, but you just have to get used to things like that, where like the inclusion of you is like a talking point, or it's like, oh, it's a serious topic. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, and you somewhat have to fight for your inclusion, which is another thing too that feels like people don't understand how exhausting that is. Just like fight for like authentic inclusion. So it's not just like, oh, give me some good skin tone. You know, it's like, do you have black voice actors doing black people? Because you know, like we've seen in the past, like Uncharted, Lost Legacy. That's not a black woman doing that voice. That's a white woman. You know,
yeah,
which is like weird. You know, it's like some Get Out type shit. You know. Yeah. For real. Literal gaming version of Get Out, you know? So it's like that. Yeah. But then there's also like, why does our hair look like this? Why do I got the scalp braids? My nigga, have you seen a black person with braids? Go on the internet, look up black people with braids. You see that shit in between the braids? Oh, it's hair. It's hair. You feel me? Like, it's like that. It's like, it's just like, you know, the spaces that are created, like we have to like interject ourselves and then be like, hey, they be like, cause they welcome us in. They like, yeah, come on, come hang out. And then you like, oh, that's what's up. And then you sit down, you be like, hey, I'm uncomfortable. Like you said, like they were like, what, what, why? You know, we got, it's like you go to somebody's house. They're like, yeah, we got food. We got punch. We got da da da. It's like, yo, I'm kind of uncomfortable. It's like, why? I'm a black person and this is an all white party. Like, you know, I appreciate the food. I appreciate the couch. This is a nice couch, by the way. But like, bro, I'm uncomfortable as fuck. I can only talk about the America. Like if it's like making small talk, it's like somewhat of the American staple. So like first thing is the weather. Next thing is sports, action movies.
Yep.
Cars, and then white people fishing. That's one. Fishing, that's the low key one. If you know how to fish, dog, go about fishing or something like that. Or like, yeah, but like, it's just those things of like being in those spaces and being like, oh, I'm uncomfortable and this is why. And then them being like, no, that's not sense. Jerry has curly hair. What are you talking about? You know, like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I'm talking about. It's like, and so for me as a, and that was one of those times where like I think about something I like recently stumbled across. It's like that was a reminder of like, are you black first or are you a journalist first? And I'm like, and that's still something that like I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, oh boy. You know, so with that particular news, I just do what I normally do. It's just like, I'm gonna go to my Twitter and I want everybody to understand something. I'm not really a serious person. I don't really take myself seriously.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think I have a brand, but like one of the things I will do, I do have time for, I'm gonna make fun of some oops, there's no black people, or just flat out racism.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that was necessarily the case here. You know, I don't want nobody getting, you know, getting in my DMs or anything like that. But I will mock any bad statement that doesn't, that's like, well, here's why there's no black people. So what I proceeded to do then was like, yeah, you know, this is a good interview for my IGN. But also, what did I say? I said that, yeah, well, when asked, like, why are there no black and brown people, you know, the game creators is just like, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's like, look, listen, we understand that like you want black people in this medieval story, but like black people didn't exist during that time at all, period.
What?
Yeah, like they were never there. They didn't exist. They weren't born yet. Black people wasn't
there. Oh, man. What was funny about that, too, was that the very... By the way, we're making fun of this because it is ridiculous. Like, let's be for real. Because the thing is, people... And what's funny is that people will go on like, well, history is like, forget all that. You don't even need to mention history. It's just... It's a game where people turn into kaiju and are fighting.
Yeah.
And there's a desert. Like, there's no reason under... It doesn't even matter if this game was literally about fishing. Just not having... Just having characters who are not white, that shouldn't be a constant talking point. It's also... It also reminds me, it's like, why do we keep talking about these things? And what's funny was that Anime Network had a feature about it where they legitimately had an interview with a researcher, a medieval expert, right? and the thing is, no, wait, hold on. Like, no shade, right. It's funny because you're like, wait a minute, I wouldn't expect to see that on Anime News Network, right? No, but no shade to them. Like, they do have good features and, like, they've been putting out good content, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing was, what I didn't expect while I was reading that was, like, they would be very blunt about the questions that they're asking. And then, you know, they asked the researcher, well, what's up with this? The researcher, and I would ask everybody to, like, read that if you can find it. The researcher says something to the effect of, I don't know what history this producer is referring to. But, like, there is no history about people existing in medieval Europe who were just white. Like, I'm sorry, that is factually not correct, right? and they also said, hey, I'm sure that game is going to look great. It's going to sell a lot. Yada, and it will, obviously. But, you know, I don't know what history is being chalked up here, right? And, you know, things like that. It's hilarious. Yeah, and, you know, the thing about my job as a gaming journalist is that I try, it's a fun job, and, you know, not everyone does it, but I do try to be very mindful of the fact of, okay, I'm Black, this is a job that I have, I don't necessarily want to talk about things like everyone does. I am a big advocate for, like, covering games, reviewing them, you know, even how we talk about why they're our favorites. It should not sound the same. I think that just having different views of point of coverage is a very important thing, because I think that's what helps elevate just the coverage of the industry, the people within it, this podcast, for example, your favorite YouTuber, TikTok, just game developers talking about their experiences, things like that, et cetera, et cetera. Because all that is interesting. It helps keep it fresh. And that's why I think, you know, we definitely do need more people who are work at major publications, even though people can create their own media sites. And people do, and they do have great coverage on their own, but there's still, I also think about the things about, like, access, and what kind of coverage a larger site can get versus a smaller one, you know, that does exist. And, I still think it's important that we have more people, because it does, like, elevate the coverage, because there are things where I might not be suited for to really speak to, for example, what's something I can think of, you know, just like the industry at large, well, larger AAA gaming, like its depictions of Muslim people, for example. We know that's not really good, but I wouldn't necessarily be an individual who could really offer a featured article or op-ed that really speaks to that. Authentically, as, you know, I'm not of the faith, right? Or of course, you know, the conversation about the industry at large and how it depicts queer folks, for example, queer folks of color, things like that. You know, I know I'm rambling, but, you know, I do think we need more people in it, and that's why I love what content creation is, because that is something, again, Black people empowering themselves and other folks as well to do something on their own that exists even alongside journalism, because journalism can't do anything. That's why, to me, reading the story from a big website is important, but so is me tuning into this stream, listening to this Black woman's thoughts about this game and why she doesn't think it's necessarily landing in the story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that too, of like the multitude of perspectives, because it is certain things that like aren't necessarily at the top of the creators' minds, just because of like they're trying to get more and more better. Like you said earlier, like it's the gaming industry is like, you know, there's a wide variety of things. There are different viewpoints and there are places, but they're still focused on the people. And you can see it in a lot of the storytelling. Like they're trying to get back to like the storytelling of like people-centered stories, like really in depth of like, for example, I hate to use this example because everybody uses it, but like The Last of Us or stuff like that, you know, like very intricate, like people aren't just black and white. It's a gray area and people make shitty decisions and they're like repercussions for your actions. But like if sometimes you got to make a bad decision in order to help somebody see some good or like help someone get a good experience. But like they're still not that same focal point in the workplaces, you know, like of like trying to get more in depth and like understanding, like, you know, these perspectives are needed for not only when it comes to crafting the level design or character design, but the story content too. One main thing that I see a lot of, or I always witness of, is like people reviewing games or any type of medium, honestly, where like they'll be like, oh, well, this character is very layered, da 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 da, but then this character is like, it's either like a femme character or a female identifying character. They'll be like, oh, well, her storyline fell flat and this, that, and the other. And my, in the back of my head is like, that's probably because it was written by a white dude or like a dude, you know, like, or like a dude, like a cis male, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like that person doesn't know how to write a story about a woman, you know, in a way that needs to be like in depth. That's why, like, that's the perfect example is like we got the difference between Suicide Harley Quinn, not the Suicide Squad Harley Quinn, but Suicide Squad Harley Quinn, and then Birds of Prey Harley Quinn. It was it was multi-layered. It was like Harley Quinn was more in depth and more of a better character in comparison to like, I'm just a crazy cute girl and I'm gonna break stuff. You know, it's like she's like, no, I got a complicated history. I had a very shitty, abusive boyfriend. I'm trying to build myself back up and I'm trying to install influence into other people, but also I'm doing whatever the fuck I want because fuck everybody, you know. and it's great to see that, because then we have spaces like, and then in the gaming space, especially in the content creator space, we have like the Noir Network, we got Black Girl Gamers, we got there's so many out there that are like trying to like install that influence into black women and into folks who are isolated, or even like not necessarily isolated, but like there's so many gates they have to get through to actually get quote unquote recognized in the way that like it's like considered a like a star or like of high caliber within this industry, that's fucked up, you know? So they're like, fuck it. So instead of trying to get a seat at your table, they're like, nigga, fuck your table. You know what I'm saying? Fuck your table. We got our table over here. We eating good over here. Y'all keep that shit over there. Don't nobody want to eat that. You know?
What? To your point, what's interesting to me is that ever since I got my job, I'm just, you know, just trying to do better. I've also like looked at roles, like whenever I see like a posting to like a news site or not necessarily just a gaming, but like a news site, and I look at, you know, the requirements. I know people who would be a good fit, but I always still think about, well, what do you quote unquote consider experience? Because to me, an individual who has a history where if they're a content creator and they create videos, they regularly stream, they edit their own stuff, you know, they have an audience of whatever size, it doesn't really matter. If they've been doing that for, I don't know, 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5 years, what have you, that's an individual that could very much be your video producer anywhere, yes, right?
Absolutely.
Just off those credentials.
Uh-huh.
And they probably have a job, and they're probably doing all of that working another job. And I always think about, so why, and I'm not saying is it because I've seen people who've had backgrounds like that transition that into an industry job or somewhere else, you know, uh-huh, why is that still not considered quote unquote good enough, you know, for a media job? And I think about that a lot, because that's a conversation that comes up when, you know, hey, why aren't there more just Black journalists, period, kind of thing. You know, I said, you know, it's just something I think about, because there are people who are doing really cool things, and I do wonder if they turned in a resume for a job of something that they already do.
Uh-huh.
You know, the only difference would be is that, you know, they'll probably have some media training or whatever it is, some transitionary period, and they do a full time for a website.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know what I mean? You know, and I think about things like that, and I still think about, like, I'm not gonna lie to you and tell you that I don't think about why there aren't more people working on larger websites from, you know, overlooked communities. That would be a lie. I do think about that probably every other day, because there's like news or something I'll see, and I'll ask myself, well, why don't I see XYZ?
Yeah.
You know, things like that is just weird. You know, it goes back to the thing. It's like, huh, yeah, my job makes me think things.
yeah, absolutely. It's funny because, like, there are a few websites. I know they exist. I never say, like, there aren't any, you know, because that's fucked up to the people that got them out there. Like,
right,
there are people that exist that are providing that, like, that scope and that lens that's necessary. But, like, they don't want to, like you said, that their consideration of accolades and credentials is not necessarily aligned with or understanding of, like, how adaptive and how different the world is now. Like, they have very a traditional mind state of that, which is also, like, which can definitely be rooted in, like, racism, white supremacy, you know, like those things of, like, those systems, those institutions that were built up in that way to where, like, you had to have X, Y, and Z things in order to be considered quote unquote a professional. But, like, the world has fucking changed, you know, like you said, that on the job experience of being a content creator with video production, like, that's something that's always needed on sites. I see that a lot of time on sites, on, like, IGN and places, like, we need a video producer. And then like you said, it's like, I bet you out of, like, 1,000 applications, 400 of those are probably content creators that they said no, you know, just because they don't have the traditional pathway. And but I know that there are places where people are getting their thoughts off and shit, but just need to be boosted up. One thing that really, one review that really stood out to me, I think it was last year. I don't know when this game came out, but it was trash anyway. Watch Dogs Legion. it came out, and that's been the first time I've ever regretted a $15 game purchase, because it was just like, it was just so boring within the first 20 minutes. But one thing that everybody's talking about, oh, the game, like this, like that, but it's got polish, it's got ray tracing, da da da. But this website, the Nerd Council, they actually had they did a review on it, and they said, like, not only is the game bland, but, like, its depiction of Black people on the game is just not even, like, a real authentic depiction. It's just, like, they reskinned some people of color. They just had some people of color designed up randomly, like, it's, like, sent through, like, an algorithm. And then the voices, they have, like, 8 voices they cycle through of the NPCs. And it's not even, like, and you don't even know if those people, like, those voices are aligned with them. It could be some random voice actor and stuff like that. And then, like, none of the characters have, like, a real in-depth story. They're all shallow. You know, they're all, like, and it was, like, it was like they were like, well, people want to be more things. It's like, you want diversity? Here's all the diversity, all the characters. You can play as anybody. Fuck it. But they didn't think it through of, like, is that what people want? That's not what people want. People want authentic representation and authentic experience. And, like, just fucking hire some people that can give you that perspective, and, like, in a way that isn't, like, you just, and not you just siphoning them for, what does the Black community want? What does the Latina, Latinx, Latino, Latina community want? You know, like, what is it? What what don't just do that because of the simple fact of like that's going to get people that's going to people be realized like, oh, I'm just a culture fucking I'm just literally like a culture cow and you're just milking me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like a means to an end. You know, you're just tapping to me like a resource. And that's not necessarily people actually want to be heard and actually listened to and actually in an environment that is like respectful and curates and help them do their fucking job. You know, like sometimes people just want to do their fucking job and not have to talk about race and racism and then also assuming people are poor, like black people. Oh, you had it rough growing up. And it's like, I mean, not really, no. Like, you know, like it's just like just those stereotypes and all those things that people have to feed into. I like one thing I can say about like a show like Blackish is that they make fun of like how the white people ask questions like that, but that really happens. Like the white people in the workplace asking stupid questions or making stupid comments, they say stuff like that, but it isn't that to that extreme as that like a caricature of a white person, but it's still like that, like, oh wow, they make comment like, oh, you seem like you have new hair every week you come in, Chandra. And it's like, nigga, mind your fucking business. Why you have to say that? Like, why you have to say that, bro? Like, you ain't had to say it. Yeah.
It's funny how what you're explaining is just something that happens across so many fields, not necessarily gaming, just... and I think that it just... I don't necessarily like cover that only, but when it comes to the conversation about creating work that is better representative, there are still big companies that show that them just having more staff that are better representative of the world like does influence that and it gets them there. So, you know, let's just be real. The closer you get to that, the better.
Yeah.
But also the other thing I think about too, that the thing that my job has made me more consistent about is not necessarily just thinking about the end product, but like how it gets there, you know. You know, you see the formation of studios, who's getting funding, venture capital backing, stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
You look at the founders, the development team, and, you know, one of the things I always think about is what faces I see and I don't see a lot. And, you know, a lot of the times that's just the reality of what it is. And, Yeah. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Like, I think we had one interview on the site where one of the things that we tried to do is just ask them about, like, hey, you know, you're creating this new studio. One of the questions you'll probably see is just a throw in there. It's just like, oh, you know, what about your DEI efforts, DEIA efforts, you know, or something like that. One of the interviews, I don't know who it was exactly, but like the response again is like, oh, well, you know, we just created a studio, but, you know, being diverse is hard. That was an honest answer, right?
Yeah.
Like, I do appreciate that was an honest answer, but I still thought about the fact that this was a veteran person in a game space.
Yeah.
And I still very much thought of, so when are you going to think about that? And, you know, the rest of the answer was just like, well, you know, we'll hopefully we'll get there, XYZ. You know, but going back to I guess the larger point is that the thing about this job, I would say is, it's just weird. You're just trying to do your job. You're trying to report things about like the business side of things and things just be weird. You know, like you'll just see random head scratcher things and you're like, you know what? I just want to get my work done and I'm going to clock out and log off.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, I got a question of like, what do you feel like is like what do you feel like the direction of gaming is going as far as like, not necessarily just like, as far as like content being made, because there are some games that are coming out that do feature black main characters like you. Like we were talking about the game Seasons before we were recording, and then there's the other game.
Forspoken
too. Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, that's coming out too. You know, and it just seems like that we're moving in a direction. I don't want to say we're moving in a direction, but it seems like, you know, games or companies with bigger budgets and bigger, you know, bigger budgets and access to more resources are getting some limelight in like portraying black characters. But then again, it's like, how do we uplift the current game, like POC centered and black owned and brown owned gaming companies to get more of a limelight? Like I've seen like more like a representation with like the Guerrilla Showcase and stuff like that going on, like the IGN That's main pages and other things like that, you know, those going on. So shout out to them. But what do you think needs to happen more to get more of that representation like brought up to the forefront?
So like you mentioned, like the Guerrilla Collective, Black Voices in Gaming is a very good one. I think so. That's a multi-layered question. I'll try my best to, based off what I've seen. So a lot of in the smaller indie space, a lot of the times what that tends to fall down to is whether or not, you know, they're able to get publishing or find a publisher to help the game come to fruition. So really that leans upon, I think, with whom they pitch to and whom's willing to support the game. I would like to think that more publishers are forthcoming with that to help. And I think the answer to that is simply put, just to have that be a part of every big show or showcase thing, just to keep getting more eyeballs there. Honestly, I think that every show or showing or E3 type thing or anything that's particularly showing like games coming soon or anything like that should feature a similar something where, you know, these are games from studios that are owned from black folks, brown folks, or queer creators and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this is a game, like, and the game may not necessarily even be about their experiences. It could probably be some different, like, you know, most people, because not everybody wants to be like, well, you know, I'm black and I'm making a game or something. You could just be whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just having more, just focus on that. It's like, it'd be kind of weird to just have like I'm not necessarily saying, oh, this is a part of our show with all the minorities or whatever. No, what I'm saying is just like interject that in between like everything, you know what I mean? Like have a video of the studio and people just talking about it. Like I think Black Voices in Gaming did something recently where, I don't know if it was affiliated with PlayStation. I want to say it was. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to that. But one of the conversations they had was with this small team of Afro-Brazilian developers in their studio, and they were talking about their game. And it was a really nice promo. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, we need more stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's one part. I think if just every showcase, Nintendo's pretty good about that too. Now that I think about it, when they do like their indie thing, that they tend to have videos of like the developers talking about their game, and then you've seen it. Definitely, I think that would definitely help if everyone did something like that. Now, as far as like the larger games with the three that you mentioned, I'll be honest, I don't know, because the thing is with those, I guess it depends on how well they sell. But in the case of Flintlock, for example, I know that one of the senior members on the team is black. I don't know exactly what role they have.
Okay.
But I do know that there is a black person on the senior leadership team with that title. And in case of Forspoken, that's another one. I guess we'll just have to find out That's coming out the gate in early, what, I think midway January, right?
I think January, yeah.
We'll just have to see how well it performs, because obviously if it does well, that's either going to mean there's either A, going to be a sequel, or they're just going to decide to green light another game with someone that isn't white, which is just funny to say. You know, that it's just weird on the back end of that FF16 conversation. This is funny.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny? Is Square Enix is releasing Forspoken and FF16 within the same year, and it is hilarious how that company had a case of where, like, this game, well, you know, black and brown people don't really exist over here in this game. And then you have one that has a black woman right on the cover, and it's about her.
In a similar time, in a similar...
and like, it's like medieval fantasy stuff, right? You know, that's just not funny.
Yeah.
You know? That's interesting. But to go back to the question... it really depends on how well these games do, because I think about like when Deathloop released, that's a game that's starring two black characters, and that did really well. Will we see more games with black or brown folks? I'm willing to say yes, because, you know, they made the game fun. I don't know. Like, the thing is like, I know that other mediums are like this, where, you know, shows starring like black or brown people probably gets like a season, that's it, it's a wrap. And then, you know, there's always a conversation about, well, will we get more? And we do, but then there's still that weird feeling of like, will we get enough? And, you know, I honestly don't know. My hope is that we do get more, because I also think about how Miles Morales did really well, and that was a game that they really did their best to have that be like an authentic experience to, you know, our favorite Afro-Latino superhero. So, you know, who knows? But I think when it comes to this, it's important to have these conversations and talk about it if you have the capacity for it. You know, I want everybody to... That's something I really do believe. It's like, you don't have to, like, one of my homeboys says, like, you don't have to be at 100 every day. And I know that's something we talked about before we started recording. Facts. You know.
Yeah, for real.
If you don't have a capacity, like, well, I don't want to always keep defending my existence, whatever. No one's saying that you have to. You certainly don't. There are people who, if feel so inclined, they'll talk about it. My thing, though, is that if people are saying, well, you know, hey, there's no black or brown people in here, or disabled folks or queer folks, you know, or anyone who's trans, it's not a big deal. What I say is that if you run into that, if you don't feel like roasting somebody, you don't have to.
No, you don't.
Someone else probably will.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They gave it 100.
Yeah.
The thing about the games industry is that, as I reported, there's just so many different parts to it. Like we were saying, people have so many different roles. It's like you could literally have a career, a very long career, just sticking in the indie game space and making the authentic games that you want, never having to worry about like the AAA space, because that's different, you know. Yeah. Or the mid-range game and stuff like that. So who knows? I mean, I always do also find it funny, and this goes back to like, you know, being black, the games is funny. It's like I blink and there's another game with an anthropomorphic character, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's nice. And I'm like, when's the last time I saw a new game with somebody black or brown?
you know what's funny with those games too, they'll bake in racism in that game and be like, oh, we fuck with everybody, but don't you fuck with those moles ain't shit. They'd be like, damn. And the moles be like, we helped build this city, y'all ain't go fuck with us. And everybody's like, nah, fuck you. It's like, what? That's so disrespectful. They got racial slurs for them and all that shit. You like, got slurs for the moles? Fuck. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. I do want to see. That is funny that you say, about you saying like the showcases, because it would be like they would do that and be like, there's a bunch of games. And then Phil Spencer come out, like, if it was Xbox, and he'll be like, and now it's time for the nigga section. And it's just a bunch of nigga cat.
Oh my God.
Oh no, they wouldn't. But no, nah, yeah, it's like, yeah, you just got to integrate it. It's got to be integrated seamlessly. Yeah. It can't just be like a add-on or like the tune in afterwards for our Black showcase. Ain't nobody going to watch it after that. You know, like that's fucked up.
I will add, though, I didn't mean to interject that there. While I was explaining that, I realized that some companies have gotten better about that. So that's already happening anyway, but it would be great to see more of that.
Yeah, yeah. One showcase I seen this last year, they had a couple, was a Day of the Devs, and that was like highlighting indie games, and it was like showing like a not only just like a wide variety of like of a wide variety of studios, but a wide variety of games. Like it wasn't just like one type of game or one type of, or like fitting in some narrative or some like, or some like particular mission or goal. It was just like, look, these are people making indie games, and like it was just people from all around the world, which is pretty dope. But we're getting close to the end of the episode. I hate to get into it so soon, but this is the time where I let the guests get off some positive affirmations and some positive energy out in the world. So this is a time where you can step up, give the audience something to like hold on to for the week, and you know, include that in their daily affirmations. So I'm gonna take a step back, let you say what you gotta say.
Yeah. As far as affirmations go, always, if you can, always lean into the support systems that you have and the communities that are with you, because more times than not, the experiences or times where you may find yourself doubting your skills or if you belong are thoughts that aren't your own. Other people will be there to remind you that, hey, you've done this work. And, you know, a lot of times you'll need that. I know I need that. And there'll probably be days where you feel like your work isn't up to snuff, but I'm here to remind you that it is. It will remain as such. If you've done that either for 5 months, six years, you have an incredible body of work that if you ever doubt yourself, it's okay to stop. If you find yourself creatively, or if you find yourself that you're not quite getting that position that you want, that you know that you can get, you can definitely take a step back, look at the work that you've done. It's okay to rest, realign your energies and keep trying, or come back and finish that project. And also, it's important to remember that you are a person. You can't always just create, or expect it to be this expert of, even if it's your field, you're always on. It's okay to tell people, hey, after 5 o'clock, I'm off. please rest, set boundaries. You have other hobbies. Please don't forget them. That's fun. That makes you, if it's that's cosplay, if you're like really into music, please don't forget your other hobbies. That helps you, you know, realign your energies. And it's also okay to remember that although you have a job and career, even though if it pays the bills, it's okay to have that separation that you are still a person when you're not on the clock. You are still you. You can hang out with the homies. You can still be a goofball online. That's what I do mostly. It's okay to have that separation because you definitely want, you know, people to remember that you are a person, and never let anyone deny you your personhood for the work that you do. Never get in a position to feel little, because the thing is, we all like fall into place with what we do. We all have a purpose. You may not find it now. You may not find it in a week, but you do have one, and no one can steal your shine, because that shine is yours and yours only. So drink plenty of water, rest. It's okay to put your phone on do not disturb, and try again tomorrow. And those are all the affirmations that I have.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show again. Where can the people find you on the socials, and what can they expect when they not only read some of your work, but also tap into your social medias too?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JR Potential. It's literally spelled how it sounds. My initials, JR, and the word potential. You can find my work at gamesindustry.biz. And normally, as a staff writer, I'm literally just writing all kinds of stories. So you'll see me probably, I'll talk about studio foundings, maybe any controversies that might happen, anything probably happening with Activision Blizzard, anything happening with like indie studios. If there's news that's happening, you'll see me report on it. As far as my socials go, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm something of a goofball because I do that purposely, because you'll see that I have a lot of thoughts in my head. I mostly talk about music. I'll talk about how much I love Abbott Elementary at Southside. I don't apologize for that.
Oh, Southside's the best show of all time. One of the
Southside is so hilarious. Officer Goodnight.
It's so funny.
Has to be the best comedic character ever. Anyway, I could probably talk about it for that hour. And also, I just try to share like tweets and things that are important that people think about. And also, you'll probably see me share on occasion like the writing that I do outside of games journalism. You know, I mostly do that to talk about like mental health, things that are just going on. That I feel strongly about, to just practices that help me just stay to be a good writer and just try to be a better human being. That is it. So yeah, holla at me. Also, I am Haitian, so if you do tweet to me in Creole, I will be able to write back because I have been learning that. So shout out to your boy. All right.
Yeah.
No, we multilingual out here. I obviously speak the language. I can hold a conversation. But if you tweet at me in the language, don't worry. Other people have to hit translate, not us.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. Oh, and as always, you can find us on the socials at Twitter, TikTok, Twitch at UBG Pod. And on Facebook at UBG Plays. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. And always remember, be happy, drink some water. Please drink water. It's wintertime now. You got to double up. And keep gaming.